The Coigig Pod on Off the Ball.
And then we had Eileen, who we kind of picked because we thought, you know, knows Irish football inside out, and then that'll do the job. And those kind of things aren't really what we need. We need a really, really good, strong coach.
Subscribe to the Coigig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite. Yeah!
But it is a bit of a surprise, right? I guess you're not in any way surprised about the fact that they are sticking with Sam Prendergast. It is Ringrose and Bundiaki, and it looks like a 5-3 split on the bench, which means Robbie Henshaw will actually make the matchday squad. It would be very harsh on him to miss out, given just how well he is playing at the moment. But that back row will be Ryan Baird, Josh van der Fleer and Caelan Doris, with Tadhg Byrne back in the second row, as he was for the Six Nations last year. So we did talk a bit about that during the week. And it looks like Dan Sheehan's going to be on the bench, which is a remarkable recovery from his ACL. So the bench is Sheehan, Healy, Thomas Clarkson, Big Joe, Joe McCarthy, quite the impact player to have to come on, Jack Conan, Connor Murray, Jack Crowley and Robbie Henshaw. That's a great bench.
It is a good bench, yeah. There's probably, well, there is an absence of depth and options out wide if it's not happening for James Lowe and Aaron Mac Hansen. I do feel incredibly sorry for Calvin Nash.
Yeah, I suppose the fact that he was so far away in November, it means he, even though he's been brilliant since, he has a lot of ground to make up. And if James Lowe had been a week slower with his recovery, then you feel like Nash would have been straight in, but you're not sure because Osborne, you know, like the experiment recently with Ringrose playing on the wing, I wonder was that something that was, I suppose it's definitely Leinster need to do that because they have four very good centres. We're delighted to say Matt Dawson is with us to give us a bit of an English perspective on all this. Matt, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
So Ryan Baird will start at six. Jack right. Conan's going to be on the bench. Tadhg Byrne goes back to the second row. So the defensive line-out option that Ryan Baird poses, because he's obviously a giant and his athleticism. So it's him yeah. and van der Fleer and obviously Caelan Doris at eight.
Yeah.
Prendergast is going to start at 10. And Bundiaki is also going to start. So ferocious clashes in the midfield. And we're sending a bruiser to protect our young scrawny out half, who may be the best young player in the world or maybe about to find that the step up to Six Nations is just a bit too much too soon.
Well, those types of players, they make it very apparent whether they can handle it or not. I mean, Prendergast is... I mean this in the nicest possible way. He's like a ghost. He just sort of drifts around and... love watching those types of players that just make it super effortless. And but in fact, I hate those types of players because I was never one of those types of players. I think in my head, I thought I was one of those players. I can't see him struggling at this level. I think if the team around him give him front foot ball, blimey, what's there to go wrong? England's defence has been their issue. You know, let's not beat around the bush here. In the autumn, it absolutely undid them. And they've changed the way that they want to defend. But my goodness me, if England defend like they did in the autumn against someone like Prendergast, then England are going to find themselves in a lot of trouble. He's just got lovely balance, lovely vision. And listen, Crawley, you've got some fantastic fly halves and a great position to be in. But there is a calmness around him that if he can implement that into his game and make the players around him get on his level like he does at provincial level, then Ireland could be a very tricky proposition this year.
Have you seen an out half like Sam Prendergast before, Matt? Does he remind you of anyone?
It's a little bit of a combo. I think he's got a bit of Danny Cipriani about him. He's got a little bit of he's got like a calmed down version of Quade Cooper. I think he's got a bit of Dan Carter in him. But then I feel there's a real uniqueness. I mean, and when I say a bit of, it's just, I, I, couldn't say, oh yeah, he reminds me of that player. He sort of reminds me of a really impressive school's fly half that we all used to play with at school or against, and you'd be like, oh my god, who's this kid? I can't do anything about it. And every when I said the ghost comment, it's as if you're clutching at, oh, I've got him now, and he's distributed it somewhere else, or he's just drifted into a position where, you know, there's a slight two and one. You know, there's maybe that from an England perspective, someone like a George Ford who was always able to put other people in places, or Charlie Hodgson, I remember, was a bit like that as well back in that day. But there you go. I've named probably half a dozen fly halves, but actually he's himself. I've really enjoyed watching him play, and I really, really hope that it does translate into top level international rugby. I mean, I don't think we know, because there hasn't really been a player like him for a while. But I hope it does, because it would be great for the game. He's not a maverick, is he? And those players that I mentioned, your Cipriani's, Craig Cooper's, Carlos Spencer's, they were all maverick players and brilliant skills, individual skills. But they were never part of a team that won the World Cup. They were never a team that were consistently winning games, because they didn't have that calmness and game management to say, okay, no, nothing flash needs to be done here. It's more, you know, that's more Dan Carter, where, you know, he could do something brilliant, but then all of a sudden he would just ramp it down and say, right, we need to do X, Y, and Z here to just win the game. And he wouldn't get carried away with the event. And I'm building him up here. So hopefully he's not going to disappoint us, but he's a fantastic talent. Fantastic talent.
The abiding memory that we have of last year is Marcus Smith's celebrations at the very end of the game when he kicks the winning score. And there does seem, the one caveat to the performances in November was that it looked like there was a pre-programmed, the 10 in particular is getting a set amount of time, almost irrespective of game flow. I don't know if that's fair or not, but Marcus Smith at the end of the game against us was really good. Now, he hadn't started that game, if memory serves, but is there a world in which Borthwick just needs to let that bit go and be a bit more in the moment himself?
That's a very interesting question. He has to. The question is out there, is that in his makeup? Is that in Steve Borthwick's makeup as a rugby aficionado? Does he understand how that works? And as a player, I played with Steve. You know, he was very regimented in the way that he wanted to play rugby. Brilliant in the line out, studied it to you know, better than anybody else that I've ever met. Was very detailed, very precise, maybe a little bit programmed, but could get away with that in the second row, but had that mentality. You know, obviously with a coaching staff around him, you're leveraging some of that skill because you need that within the game, but using the coaches around you, you've got to have that adaptability and that that scope to enjoy and experience and experiment. And Marcus Smith is a really a good case in point. But is Marcus Smith being coached by England to win games? And that's what I want to see as an England fan. Marcus Smith is an incredible talent, has got all the things that I was talking about there with Sam. But I don't see the calmness in Marcus Smith that I see in Sam. And you just mentioned the winning drop goal, and or if he's scoring a try and he's you know, he's going absolutely crazy and celebrating with the crowd, and you know, it's awesome. And of course, he's just done that for England. Of course, you're going to select, but go back in history, in your own history of Ireland, or if you're Scottish, Scotland, or wherever, and your great fly halves, of course, are going to celebrate at the right time. But for a vast majority of it, they're going about their business. And yeah, from an Ireland perspective, you look at Johnny Sexton. Yes, if he's scoring a drop goal after the 40th phase in Paris, then you're going to go bonkers. But for a vast majority of it, it was, well, that's my job. I've kicked the conversion. I've kicked the drop goal. I've scored a try. Get up, go back, do it again, reorganize. This is where we're going to play. And I just feel Marcus, I want Marcus to be slightly detached from the emotion of the game. I personally think that will help him. Because he, I mean, we spoke about some fly halves, I was speaking about some fly halves earlier, and their talent. I mean, Marcus Smith physically has just got absolutely everything. And if we can bottle up some of that game management as well towards the end of the game, then there's no reason why, you know, he can't be a superstar for a long time.